July.
Whoa. But yeah, it's done now. Yeah.
One. That's good. We'll have to dust off the website and put it on there.
Yeah, yeah. It's scheduled for like 2 weeks from now because I want it to come out like in the middle of October when people are like feeling spooky. Mm-hmm. Max spooky.
So. Definitely. Hello and welcome back to Real Horror Show. I'm your host, Samantha, and I'm joined as always by the Stormy Skies.
Hello.
Yeah, this episode's going to be a week later than usual just because, you know, life.
Yeah, we're getting a little tired because we have to be so spooky all the time because we're ghosts.
No, maybe we should throw everybody off and in October we just review Christmas movies.
No fucking way, but we could do that because
it's our podcast.
We're tricksters, I know.
Unpredictable.
Also, that would actually work for us because the Real Horror Show, like I saw on your Snapchat the other day, was when you see Christmas stuff during Halloween time. It'd be like paradise.
You have no idea how much that pissed me off because we were looking at the Halloween decorations and I look over and they're setting up the fucking Christmas trees and the date was September 29th.
Jesus Christ, dude. What the fuck? The Christmas trees?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
That's fine. I bought my cute little tumbler that you saw on my Snapchat my Instagram today.
Yeah. Yeah,
I like that. Hollow, literally dead.
What store were you at?
I got that at Walmart. It was like $3.
Nice.
Walmart has really cute Halloween stuff. It just pisses me off that I have to look at it, and out of the corner of my eye, I see the goddamn Christmas stuff. And I've been talking to David about this, and I don't think he really cares, but there's got to be some kind of diminishing returns when it comes to decorating for Christmas this early. Like, for me, it hasn't felt like Christmas in a really long time, even on Christmas. And I think it has to do with how early they start setting this stuff out. Like, it's been in the 80s. How can I get in the mindset to be holly jolly when it's 85 fucking degrees outside?
Dude, I know. Tomorrow, where I live, I'm going to have like near record breaking high temperatures with a real feel of like 94. How the fuck am I supposed to be like, yes, I think I will begin Christmas shopping and think about my fake snow covered artificial tree? It's like, fuck no.
Like, don't get me wrong. I'm thinking about Christmas presents right now just because I love buying people Christmas presents. And we went to a craft fair on Saturday and got a lot of business cards for local vendors and such.
Great idea.
But I'm not actually going to like Christmas shop until November.
Right? Shame. We got to do it right this time. We got to do it in November. I can't fuck around and wait until like December.
Right? Like, I don't know. So we don't set up our Christmas stuff until after Thanksgiving, like you're supposed to do. Shame.
Exactly.
And I remember
after Thanksgiving.
It's interesting because back when I was planning on going into education and in my early childhood development class where we actually taught preschool, the teacher in charge was like, don't start Christmas activities until 2 weeks before Christmas or holiday, since it was a public preschool, because the kids stop caring if you start too early. Like, it kind of loses its magic and they lose their excitement.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I feel like we complain all the time that time is moving too fast, and yet the people who are the most vocal about it are the ones who start decorating for holidays 3 months in advance.
Yes, I agree with that completely. Holy crap.
They can argue with me that they just want to feel holly jolly more than 25 days out of the year. And it's like, that's fine, but you're not really the outside elements of Christmas, like the trees, the Hallmark movies, the sweaters, that bullshit shouldn't be what makes you feel holly jolly about Christmas. That's all superficial and bullshit. It should be about friends and family and bringing everyone together. And if you believe in Jesus, celebrating the birth of Jesus. Your happiness and holly jolliness shouldn't come from the superficial aspects of Christmas, which BT dubs the Christmas tree has nothing to do with Jesus. It's pagan.
Pagan. Thank you.
I don't care that it's been adopted for Christmas, but like, don't act like you're putting up that Christmas tree in the name of Jesus when the Christians kind of borrowed it from the Celtic holidays.
Yes, and they kind of like just took it and made it their own thing. Yes, it's not the Jesus tree.
The thing with the Celtic religions and Christianity is, particularly in Ireland, when St. Patrick came over as a missionary, instead of like abolishing their pagan traditions, he merged those together with the Christian beliefs. That's why the Irish cross has the circle behind it that represents their former like belief in the sun god.
Huh, nice.
So we stole it, but for good reasons.
Yes, yes.
It's so they weren't giving up all of their beliefs, and it's kind of just become a Christian symbol when it was a Celtic symbol. Pagan, if you're so inclined to call it that, with your disgust tone and such.
No, well, pagan's such a bad word.
That actually turned into a good segue.
Yeah.
But you know what place has weird beliefs and stuff?
Oh, yeah, probably, like, you know, a cult or something.
Yeah, which just so happens to be the plot of the movie we're talking about this week. Yeah. Apostle is a 2018 period horror film written and directed by Gareth Evans and starring Dan Stevens, Lucy Boynton, Mark Lewis Jones, Bill Milner, Christian Frosheth, Paul Higgins, and Michael Sheen. It had its world premiere at Fantastic Fest in September 2018. The film began streaming on Netflix on October 12, 2018. It has received positive reviews from critics for its visual, cinematography, performances, and unique blend of horror genres. Well, that's funny because I didn't really care for this movie.
Same. What kind of blend of genres are they talking about? Because all I saw was just not that great.
There were aspects of this film that I really liked, but then it didn't earn its runtime. That's the thing.
Oh, right. Thank you. I thought it was so long.
Like, and we'll get into it when we get to the story section. But I have feelings about the whole genre of, you know, cult horror. Not cult horror, but horror movies about cults.
Thank you for that.
I have feelings. Okay, so acting. I do agree that the acting in this movie was pretty good.
I think it was good. I said, well, fine, but not really. Oh, I said I thought that more dialogue would help because I thought they didn't talk that much.
Absolutely. Like, I swear to fucking God, I zoned out for like 45 minutes while I was watching this and didn't miss anything.
Dude, right? I feel like I was messaging you when I was watching it or something, but like, I just feel like there were times of action, but there was no dialogue for a long time, and it was mainly music. And then I like just started to just like lose my focus, and I was like, shit. I thought that all the actors were pretty.
A little Michael too Sheen pretty.
Is, yeah, I think so too, especially if you're living on the island.
Yeah, but I am glad I watched it. Because the teen girl who gets pregnant in the movie, spoilers, she's actually starring in the adaptation of one of my favorite books of all time. So I'm glad I got to see her act before I watched that later this month.
Oh, what book?
Looking for Alaska by John Green.
Oh, it's going to be her. She's going to be Alaska.
Yeah.
Nice. I have not read that book.
People are bitch. I don't know if you'd like it, but like I'm reading it now as an adult and like I get why people think this is pretentious, but at the same time, they're teenagers. And as teenagers, we kind of think we're deeper than we actually are.
Yeah, very true. Very true.
But no, I'm excited. I thought she was very good. And of course, people are bitching that she doesn't look like what they imagined Alaska to look like. I thought Alaska was going to look more, I don't know, emo, more badass. And I'm like, well, you only thought she was emo because you were probably emo when you read it and didn't pay attention to minor details like her wearing booty shorts and peach color tank tops and flip flops, you know, staples of the true emo fashion.
Yeah, not everybody in a book looks like you in real life. Oh, wow.
No, they're just like, I thought everybody would look more emo. And like, no, they look kind of like poor kids like they're supposed to look like.
Right. My God. How funny. No, I enjoyed the acting of her because every time she was on screen, she, you know, had like a dynamic with the other male actor who was her companion and her father, especially because I didn't see that one coming with the creepy scene with the dad.
Yeah.
No, I forgot it was her dad for a while.
As we segue into story, I'm going to say right now, I wish they cut this down by half an hour by making the focus of the movie like kind of a Romeo and Juliet aspect between the two teenagers and just got rid of that really dumb plot where the guy's trying to find his sister. Because most of my notes right here pertaining to story is, he's doing a really bad job at looking for his sister.
Dude, it's been
minutes and it's been like 30 minutes and he hasn't started looking for his sister. It's been an hour.
Whenever like time started to pass, I was like sitting there like, isn't he supposed to be there for a reason? And exactly. I was like, yeah, I was like, he is looking for someone, isn't he? And I was like, maybe he's like not doing that anymore. But then I was like, shit, where is she? And then there was a woman and I was like, that's probably, is that her sister? I was like, so like kind of frazzled. No, what the fuck?
Exactly. So I think I would have enjoyed this a lot more if it was just like kind of a Romeo and Juliet type story with the two teenagers with the culture.
That was more interesting. Me too.
Because like I knew she was going to get pregnant and I knew it was going to cost shit. Yeah. And I knew it was going to cost shit, but I feel like the most emotional weight would have been with these characters, and I liked them enough that I think they could have carried it.
Yes.
I feel like with horror movies pertaining to cults, writers and directors feel the need that there has to be an audience proxy in the movie, and so that's why we have the main character who's looking for his sister who joined this cult, and so he's seen all the weird stuff when we're seeing the weird stuff for the first time. But I don't think this movie needed that.
I completely agree. And I would have much rather seen that like younger kids thing. Yeah, it just seemed like there was too much shit going on. There was too many storylines that were like trying to merge all together. And it just was too choppy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And like you said, there's, I think the gore and like the creepy shit that happens in this movie is really good. It's just you have these huge, what feels like 45 minute chunks where there's not a lot of dialogue, there's not a lot going on. And then you zone out and suddenly someone's getting their throat slit open and you're like, wait, what the fuck just happened?
Right. You're just like, oh shit. But then you're like, fuck it, I'm not going to rewind. But like with all these like big like storylines that they like just somehow like just inserted into this movie, it just like it shows that they had too much time to work with, I think.
Like you can do a deep story without a 2.5 hour runtime.
This was so long. I felt
every minute of this runtime.
Me too. Wait, look down here in my notes, Sam. Look at this. Wait, ready?
I know it's on the same doc. Yay, I didn't know.
I'm gonna highlight something that where the fuck
screen sounds exactly the same.
Wait, it did. I think I said.
Looked away for a second, and now you're.
No, wait.
You looked away for a second, and you're.
I looked away for a second. Now I'm confused. Wait, there's something. Where is it? Maybe you wrote it. No, you didn't. I wrote it. Where is it? Okay, I'll look. But like, carry on. It says something like, "Are we fucking done yet? Like, is it still on?"
probably one of my comments. There's still an hour left.
Wait, here it is. Yeah, here we go. I found it. It says, Jesus Christ, are we fucking done yet? It just goes on and on.
TBH, I didn't finish this movie. I got as far as when the teenage boy was put on the torture device and they were about to drill into his head. And that's why I stopped, because I was eating lunch and I was like, oh, I don't think I can watch this while I'm eating food.
Yeah, it did get pretty gory. That part, actually, I was like, I was like, wow, look at this fucking torture device.
Yeah. So I like the idea of this cult and their punishments. It's just, I didn't give a shit about, I guess the main character's, quote unquote, main character's name is Thomas. I didn't give a shit about his story.
Same. I didn't even give a shit about the fucking, goddess Redhead? Of nature that they were no the goddess of nature that they were like worshiping.
And I think I would have cared about that more had that kind of been more of the focus.
Yeah, they acted like it wasn't even a big deal.
Yeah. He was very blasé about the cult-like behavior of this.
Yeah, he was just like, yeah, whatever. All good.
I guess the main character's name is Thomas. This is from the IMDb trivia page. The Apostle Thomas doubted that Jesus had resurrected, similar to how the protagonist doubts his faith after what happens to him. I guess that's why the main character exists, but I guess, you know, you could have done that with literally any other character.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? Towards the end, there's this ridiculously stupid part about, like, why he's, like, lost his faith, and it's this 20-minute flashback of him like renouncing Jesus, and then he's like gets burnt by like Jesus freaks, but they're burning a cross, but he's also in China. It's very strange, and I like didn't fucking understand what was happening, and I was like, whatever. And then
we're just too stupid for this movie.
I just think this movie, this movie is too stupid for us. This is really stupid shit. It doesn't make any sense.
I feel like the point I want to go back to in the Wikipedia summary I read, mixing of genres, I think that was the issue, and they tried to do too much, and they should have just focused on the creepy cult aspect, and I would have just done it through the eyes of two fairly innocent teenagers who were raised through this, and maybe they start questioning and doubting their faith as they grow up and start disagreeing with some of the things the adults are doing, and then they boink and she gets pregnant and then dies, and then the boy dies, and it's just a really fucking depressing ending.
Yeah, straight up, because like the dude dies, they all die, the thing burns down, they leave on the boats. I don't know. It's
did anything happen with the redheaded woman? Because I made a lot of notes about her thinking she was like a witch or something.
Yeah, no, she just like leaves with the guy's sister, and that's it. The guy dies.
I thought it would be significant that she had like super red hair that stood out from the crowd, but I guess not.
She needs to touch them roots up. What I'm saying.
Fake. It's like 1905. They don't have root touch-ups.
Listen, if she's gonna look that way on the island, she must have something going on. I don't know. But no, she's not special. Like her dad's not special.
Really special.
Yeah, no one's special. They're just fucking people that live on the fucking island. And then they talk about the one guy who's like the ginger who killed his daughter, and then the other kid talks about how they imprisoned this goddess. But how can you imprison a goddess?
It's a good point.
They talk about the history of the cult, but they talk about it for only like 5 minutes. And I'm like, this should have been what we were talking about the whole time, because I really got excited when I saw the summary on Netflix that it was about a cult. And I was like, ooh, this might be like really fucking good. But like, then it was like not about a cult like whatsoever.
I don't know.
Was a beautiful place though.
I really liked Midsommar, and I know that that's basically about outsiders coming into a cult and kind of seeing the cult through their eyes.
Yeah.
But I liked that just because it wasn't boring as shit.
I bet it wasn't boring.
I need to fucking watch Midsommar.
Midsommar. I will.
Midsommar. I've heard people overemphasizing that it's Somar instead of summer, but so I'm just making fun of them.
I know, me Midsommar. Too. I was listening to a cult classic horror show, and the one guy called it Midsommar. Like, and it was funny. So I'm going to call it Midsommar.
I liked it a lot more than Hereditary. I actually feel compelled to watch the director's cut.
Ooh, if you liked it more than Hereditary, then I will like it more than Hereditary.
Subverting expectations. Where it's all pretty and whimsical, but then horrifying shit happens.
I like that. Now that's a cool thing to mix genres. Like, this is, I don't know what the fuck they were trying to do here. They had just too much stuff, way too much stuff going on. I don't know what the fuck was happening. Oh my God.
I think it works better in Midsommar because they're not just watching the weird shit. They're participating in the activities and don't really realize it's a cult. And even when they do realize that there's fucked up shit going on, they're still kind of down for it.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Oh, look, here's a funny comment I wrote. Look faster. There's only 2 hours. Yes. So funny.
Oh, God. It was so long. It tried really hard, I feel, just given some of the plot points, like a guy, an outsider coming in to look for a loved one. It felt like they were trying to overcorrect the Nicolas Cage Wicker Man.
Yes. Truth. Plus, like, it doesn't talk about why his sister, like, went there at all.
I'm not saying Nicolas Cage's Wicker Man is a good movie. It's a fucking great movie, but it's not good in any way.
Yeah. Oh, wait, no, she was kidnapped to be there.
Was she kidnapped?
She was kidnapped to be there because their dad was rich, but it didn't seem like he was giving them any money to get her back. It was very strange.
Yeah.
I do not know. There's just like so many loose ends too. If I went back and actually paid attention to everything, I feel like I'd be like, there'd be a lot of unanswered questions.
I think so too. If we want to like, I think we're in this horror renaissance, and there are some people who are very eager to elevate the horror genre, but they try too hard, and then we end up with very pretentious shit like this.
Yeah. Pretentious is a great way to describe this, because I couldn't, like, really put my finger on what the fuck was happening, but that's absolutely what is happening. It's like whoever created this was like, it's going to be excellent, and, like, it's going to have layers and be filled with metaphors and all these things, and it just ended up being, like, just... It's like a big, like, train wreck, kind of.
Yeah.
Not too much of a train wreck. This is a good lesson. Like, yeah.
I respect the critics' opinions. I didn't like this movie. I think they tried too many things at once, and a lot of it got lost. You don't need the outsider perspective to show how crazy a cult is. I think they could have done that just fine had they focused on the teenage love story.
Yeah.
Because that's a really interesting perspective. Like, kids who are raised in a cult and then kind of realize, hey, this shit is kind of stupid.
Right, exactly. I think that's better.
You can draw parallels with kids who grow out of Mormonism and leave the Mormon church and just other very kind of fundamentalist extreme churches religions. Like that. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But no.
Gotta have some dude looking for his sister and he doesn't even find her because he dies.
Yeah, well, he does find her, but, like, it takes, like, forever, and then, like,
he finds her.
Yeah.
Let's see. Production, unless you have more story notes.
Oh, dude. Just that it was too long.
Yeah, that's the majority of my notes is there's still an hour and a half left.
Yeah.
Okay, when this movie gets creepy, it does a really good job, but it doesn't earn its runtime. It's so slow. Like, I honestly stopped paying attention for 45 minutes to do actual work, and I don't think I missed anything. They still claim that this redhead ain't going to betray them, though. But I guess she doesn't. I was waiting for her to turn out to be a witch, but I guess not.
Nope, not at all. Nothing cool about her whatsoever. She's just a boring person.
And then my final note is just about how movies about cults feel the need to have an audience proxy, but I think this movie would have been better without one.
Yes. Thank you. I completely agree with that.
Production. I thought the movie was competently made. I like the cinematography. I agree with critics on that.
Yeah, definitely.
The gore looked very realistic.
Very, very realistic.
The first guy they killed that I remember where they slit his throat, my note is, I think they actually killed him.
He might be dead. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Was it in the church? They were fighting in the church?
No, it looked like they were underground interrogating someone.
Maybe I wasn't paying attention.
That's fair. Sorry. Let's see. There were a lot of parts in this movie where the music was really starting to piss me off.
Dude, same here.
The same note repeating over and over again. I'm like, I can't fucking deal with this shit. The Black Dragon is going to kill me, and these are the last things I'm going to hear.
Dude, yes, like, I was like, I know you're trying to be scary with this fucking music, but, like, do like, less music, more talking, yeah, like, let's go. Sometimes it could be creepy if you just
fucking
stay quiet.
Yeah. Those are all the notes I have, really.
Yeah. Like I said, the score is good, but I feel like it's kind of overwhelming and there's not enough great action to back it up.
Definitely.
There'd be like super intense, crazy music and the dude would just be like cowered in the corner, like not doing anything, like looking for his sister, like he's supposed to be doing.
Yeah, my biggest issue with Thomas as a protagonist is he doesn't do anything. He's literally an audience proxy telling the audience how they should be reacting to what they're seeing on screen. When they were putting that woman on the stocks or whatever, he was just in his like little hotel room watching from the window.
Right. And then in the morning he comes out and he's like, yeah, I guess I'll just build this fucking roof and not look for my sister. Also, what the fuck? Is he, like, an alcoholic or some shit? What is that stuff he takes every morning in the little, like, dropper? No one tells us that.
Probably tuberculosis medicine. It is 1905.
Man, well, fucking, they could have just left that shit out. I don't give a fuck. Because he wasn't ever sick, so they just, I don't know. They just add weird stuff, like, oh, look at this creepy medicine he's administering to himself every morning. You'll never know what it is. What the fuck?
Give a shit what it is.
I don't fucking give a shit about Thomas. I did say it was a beautiful place.
Yeah, I give a shit about unplanned teen pregnancies.
Same here. Yeah, that poor girl really got fucking killed by her dad. He really fucking killed her. I didn't know he was going to do that, but he went and did it. And then he was like,
he could do.
Then he blamed it on the other guy. And I was like, are you fucking serious?
I think he overreacted. I mean, it didn't seem like the teenage boy was just going to run away and not deal with the baby. It looked like he was going to marry her. So,
yeah. And he was getting mad. And I wanted to like, I got really confused when he was so upset because he was saying that the baby would be like born like a genetic freak or something. And it would kill her and stuff like that. And I was like, that wasn't her brother, was it? Like an incest thing? Because I don't understand why he was so upset about how the baby was going to look.
That would have been a good plot twist had they dropped every other bullshit and focused on like the teenage love story where like the big plot twist was like the village has a serious inbreeding problem because of the cult. And he's like, ah, I don't want my daughter to be a part of that. And
yeah.
You listened to No Sleep podcast for a while, right?
Yeah.
Did you ever, I can't remember which season finale it was, but it's one of my favorite No Sleep stories of all time about the kid who moves to a town and like over time they solve this mystery of how fucked up this town is. And he finds out that like three men have fathered every single child in the town and they have like a sex dungeon where they keep girls of a certain age and they just make babies and
shit. Yeah, so you did have me read that.
It's one of my favorites. They could have done that kind of plot twist with this movie.
Know, right? It was actually one guy who was fathering everybody. And
it was a few different kids. It was a few different kids. Because basically each kid born to a certain father, their first name started with a letter that correlated with that father's last name. So that's why there were a lot of gingers and a lot of kids whose names either started with like K, B, or whatever.
Yeah, that
was kind of their way of categorizing the kids to make sure the inbreeding didn't happen.
Yeah, yes, because two of them in the story like were dating, but they both had red hair and they kind of found out that they were like the products of that. Shit, what the fuck was that story called?
It starts with a B, I know that.
It's like Broska or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a good book, that story.
Yeah, that was a cool story. That was one of, that whenever I started listening to No Sleep, that was one, but actually instead of listening to the podcast, that was one that was on the Reddit. I read it on there, instead of listening to it. Yeah. I got some creepy shit on there. I should get back into that. Feeling spooky.
Yeah. Love r/no sleep.
Me too. Because I love the suspension of disbelief. That's so cool.
David, for the longest time, didn't realize that was one of the rules on the subreddit.
Yeah.
He was just like, I don't get why everybody's believing literally everything posted on here. There's no way that's real. And then one day while he was working, he was like, oh, I just noticed in the rules that it says that every story is true, even if it's not.
Right.
But r/no sleep is good. There are a lot of classic little horror stories that have come out of that. But I don't have much else to say about the movie if you want to talk about the realistic aspects.
Let's see. We've got how many cults are happening as we speak, though?
It's just an island full of competing cults.
Right.
That would be a good horror comedy.
Yeah.
The island kind of like a take on Life of Brian, but instead of, you know, Christian prophets, it's a bunch of cult leaders trying to get you to join their cults.
Yes, absolutely. I said fathers obsessed with their daughters who watch them through the peepee hole when they're going to the bathroom or whatever, or the fuck she was doing. And then like being like, so yeah, true. since you didn't watch the end, well, did you, you watch the part and like whenever he, the kid got killed. So whenever that happened, I don't know if it was like anarchy or like mutiny or whatever happened, but like the dude who's not in charge tried to like be in charge and like made everyone get like turned against the main guy who actually turned out to just be like a good guy. And like it was a ginger dad who was like the really, really bad guy. So that would suck if you like had a cult and that fucking happened, like your right hand man. That's pretty much it. Like, really didn't like think too much about this.
Right. I think that's all I have.
Yeah, same here. I got nothing else. It was just, you know, like super meh.
Meh.
Super meh. That's what I'm saying.
But for the month of October, we're not going to be doing any mini shows because Netflix has a lot of horror movies coming out, new horror movies coming out in October. So we're going to try and be relevant for the first time in our lives and stick with that. Starting with In the Tall Grass, the latest in a long line of Stephen King adaptations.
Yes.
Even though this is based on a book he wrote with his son, so we'll see.
That's kind of cool. They wrote it together.
I usually hear that's when Stephen King writes with another person, it's never as good.
See, yeah, that's probably hard.
Yeah, that's my only announcement if you want to get on with the end notes.
All right, cool. So Real Horror Show was created by Sam Odie and Stormy Skies and is directed by Sam Odie. In this episode, we learned that you should definitely look for your sister, like, once you get to the cult island. Don't waste any time. Just find her as soon as possible.
Get out of there as soon as possible.
Yeah, what the fuck? Like, why stick around and try to make friends? No, no, no. Don't fuck around. Just do your thing. Like what you hear? You can find Real Horror Show on Spotify, TuneIn, Google Play Store, Stitcher, Podcoin, and iTunes. Really, really like what you hear? Follow us on Twitter at horrorshow_pod or search for Real Horror Show on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook at Real Horror Show. Like our page and share stuff. We also have a website that all of our written reviews and podcasts can be found, realhorrorshow.com. Want to interact with us? Want to make sure we're real humans and not space vampires? Comment on our website or email us at realhorrorshowpodcast@gmail.com. Want to argue with us about something or think you have a really great horror movie review that you're dying to share with two random strangers from the internet? Submissions are open for movie reviews. Check out the submit page on our website and follow the rubric before sending us anything. If it's not done according to the rubric, it will be disregarded. Sorry, not sorry. We will post written reviews pretty soon. We have an essay coming up for October, so keep your eyes peeled for that. It'll be a doozy. We love horror, and if you're listening, you do too. Please help us keep our project going by visiting our support page on our website, where you can make a one-time donation via PayPal. We also have an Amazon wish list. If you feel like buying us something tangible will help convey your love more than a monetary donation would. Also, buy us a coffee. It's a button you can click that will pay us the amount you would need to buy a coffee, and a little bit goes a long way. Submissions are open for our yearly anthology called The October Monologues. Check out the submission guidelines on our website and send us your creepy shit. Any other pertinent news?
I don't think so.
Me neither. Our outro song is called Creepy Doll by Jonathan Colton. Thank you, fuck off, and have a swell evening.
Boy.
Bye-bye.
Bye. I love a creepy doll.